You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. I'm your host for today, Michael Remus, filling in for Drew Mandel. I'm here with Richard Pollock, high above the ice surface in the press box at MTS Center. The Winnipeg Jets just defeated the Phoenix Coyotes by a final score of 3-2 in the shootout. First game back from the Olympic break, ready to get things going, and both teams were in a nice pregame ceremony with Jocelyn LaRocque dropping the puck. Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Olli Jokinen getting in there with their medals. But let's get right to the action. This game, I'd say must win for the Jets. The Coyotes have two games in hand. They're 2 points back. They really need to get a clean win here in regulation. And they were close, but not quite tonight.
Yeah, they didn't get the clean win, Michael. They got the 2 points, so it keeps them, keeps pace, but not a bad game, not their best game, poor second period. If they play like that the rest of the year, they're not making the playoffs. They have to play a lot better, like kind of like they did the first 5 minutes there, even 10 minutes. But the Jets, I thought tonight, even though they got the 2 points, didn't dictate the pace as much as you'd hope they would. And by that, I mean they're a fast team, and they pushed the pace, I thought, for the first, as I mentioned, even first period, really. The pace was really slowed down by Phoenix in the second period and even the third period and through the overtime. I mean, shootout makes you feel like you got to win, but it's just, it's a crapshoot, right? So yeah, the Phoenix Coyotes are always going to try and play a defensive style, and I thought that they were able to impose their style of play on the Jets for two of the three periods, and I thought that the Jets going forward are going to want to make sure that they can dictate the style of play a little more, and I thought they'd been doing that under Maurice, but tonight was, I thought, you get the 2 points, so it's good. You get the 2 points and you work on your game. You could dictate the play a little bit better, especially at home.
Yeah, then they get the 2 points, but the Coyotes got one, and their team they're chasing that has two games in hand. So that's,
and you lose the regulation. You lose the regulation overtime win.
Right, that's correct as well. I mean, the game started off with quite a bang. I mean, Jim Slater coming back in his first game in quite some time. He's been out with an injury. He gets hit from behind, and then they drop the gloves in the corner there. Who's it? Klinghammer and Bogosian getting into it.
It was Enstrom hit from behind.
Oh, sorry, Enstrom.
Yeah, Enstrom got from behind, and Bogosian jumped in. Although these guys all turned their backs to these hits now. It happened like four times tonight. I mean, the refs stopped calling it after a while.
Yeah, Bogosian,
and Bogosian jumps in, gets the 2 minutes, but sticks up for the teammate. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm totally good with that, aside from the fact that it was overblown, the whole incident, because, again, he turned his back. And
yeah,
Jets guys did it. Phoenix guys did it tonight. But like that, Bogosian's into the game early. Hasn't played, obviously, for a couple weeks here. And sticking up for teammates, which he's done about as consistently as any player on the team has done since the Jets have come back.
I would say, the image of Bogosian in the Toronto game just skating across the ice.
That's right.
To protect one of his teammates.
And what about in the Islanders game? Remember that, too? He went crazy there later in the year. I think they lost that game 6-5. It was like the nail in the coffin for the Jets, I think, that same season. Yeah,
that's Bogosian. He's always that guy. I mean, the Jets, before the Coyotes put up, I think Frolik had a breakaway, couldn't put it past it.
Well, what happened on that play, Michael, is you're looking at a power play breakout, and Keith Yandel goes to drop the puck to Mike Ribeiro. There's nobody back behind. Ribeiro's just kind of loses the puck. Yandel loses the puck, and Frolik comes right in on a breakaway. Nice save by Mike Smith, who was awkward but effective tonight, I thought. I mean, Pavlik looked like the goalie far more in control than Smith and ended up with the victory, but Smith ended up making some big saves and may not have been pretty, but he's got his team a point on the road.
Yeah, Smith seemed pretty rattled. We'll get to that, but first let's get to the Coyotes opening the score. Ekman-Larsson goes into the slot, gets the puck, and puts it right over Pavlik's shoulder off the post and in.
Nice passing play. You have Klinghammer with the pass to Verbatim, who makes a nice move and a pass to Ekman-Larsson. Ekman-Larsson creeps in from the left side of the defense. The Coyotes have a lot of movement from the back end. They pressure, they create, they have speed. Ekman-Larsson is really exudes all of those traits. And Wheeler and Kane, Wheeler, that's Wheeler's guy on the right side there. If you look from the defensive zone out, and he didn't get out in time, and there wasn't a rotation, there was a lost man. And Wheeler was too deep, and if whoever was supposed to rotate for him, although he probably should have been him anyways, wasn't there, Ekman-Larsson had time. When you give him time to get a shot, he will hurt you more often than not. Very good shot. And he puts it up 1-0.
Yeah, and later on in the period, Blake Wheeler streaking down the left side, doing what he does best, takes it to the net. And this was really one of the weirder plays you'll ever seen. It looked like, I don't know, he had scored or the puck was stuck in Mike Smith's pads. the puck did go into the corner, and Wheeler just threw it on end, and Mike Smith had no idea where the puck was, and it was a goal, and Mike Smith was pretty irate after that one.
Yeah, you know, he turns the corner on Michael Stone there on the I believe it was on the right side, and Wheeler skated well. Goes at Mike Smith, and then the puck goes up. I still don't know where it went. I couldn't see it on the replay from where we were sitting. And then Buffon kind of runs Smith, and the puck's just in the middle of nowhere. Wheeler gets it, puts it on net, smart play, and it's a goal. But just an odd play, and your Jets will take it. You know, I liked Wheeler driving to the net today. I thought he was engaged for most of the game, creating some chances. The Jets as a whole kind of lulled down a little bit in the second, and more so in the second than the third. But I still liked his effectiveness, especially coming out early.
Yeah, now there's another odd play in the first period. It didn't really result in a goal, but Mark Scheifele's stick gets slashed off his hand, and Dustin Byfuglien throws it to him, which, you know, looks like, hey, he's helping his teammate out. It looked pretty nice, but then Mark Scheifele gets the penalty, and here on the score sheet it says Scheifele gets a penalty for throwing the stick when it was Byfuglien. So I think that's what confused a lot of people.
Yeah, because you can't throw the stick.
You can't throw a stick, so why wouldn't Byfuglien get the penalty?
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
We were speculating maybe Scheifele's stick was broken.
They called it an illegal stick, so we weren't sure if it was broken, and we didn't have the benefit of the commentary, of course, at the game, but I think that's supposed to have been a Byfuglien penalty. Anyhow,
it says
next time the ref's up here, we'll ask him.
Yeah, it says in the score sheet throwing stick, so we're not
okay.
But it's rewarded Scheifele. Who knows? We're heading into second. The game's tied 1-1. I mean, the second, like, did anything really?
Oh, it was a terrible period. I mean, that's what Phoenix wants, right? Road period.
Yeah,
they do nothing. Nothing happens. Face off. Face off. Face off. Face off. Face off. Turnover. Face off. I mean, boring hockey. That's when you realize, oh, we're back in the NHL. After watching, you know, even if you weren't seeing a lot of scoring, you were at least seeing high-tempo play and a good puck movement, and that period was awful. But the third got a little more interesting.
Right, well, the Jets did manage to go ahead 2-1 in the second when Zibnik Mihalik makes a giveaway with about 2 minutes left in the period.
I don't know. Right, I forgot about that being the second for a second. No pun intended. That was the worst play ever. I don't know. Was Zibnik Mihalik on a backhand up the middle on the PK? What was he thinking? To Brian Little?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The Jets had pretty much... Their goals tonight were two gifts. I thought they had a few other...
They had created chances.
Yeah.
Although Phoenix did two. You know, but that was one of the worst giveaways you'll ever see. I don't know what he was thinking. I'd love to know. As he just popped up here, maybe he asked him, but likely not because he didn't want to get slashed in the face. But the Jets will take it. 2-0. Brian Little capitalized. And that's kind of like Bogosian's terrible turnover to Corey Perry earlier this year. You know, when you're a good team, you capitalize. And they did.
Yeah, very, very good. And then we go into the third. Jets are ahead 2-1. And I thought that, you know, there were a few plays before this Jim Slater penalty. I thought there were a few plays where there were clear penalties against Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the crowd would agree.
The refereeing wasn't good tonight. But I liked that they let a lot of go, but they a little bit too much on the Jets side, I thought.
I mean, I thought there was a play where Byfuglien was pretty clearly tripped in front of the Coyotes bench. And there's maybe one or two other infractions. And then Jim Slater
But they let a lot of stuff go. Like, you know, later on in the game, Wheeler was grabbing a jersey on the forecheck. And so, I go both ways on it. I like to see a little bit more let go, but the issue is that, you know, the players are taking what they can get, right? So because you're letting more go, they're doing more, and that's kind of the slippery slope.
Yeah, it's like you let them take what they can get, but then you get this little ticky-tacky thing you haven't called all game.
Yeah, fair.
The players just wanted the reffing to be consistent.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's a penalty or not. But
that was a bad call on Slater for sure.
Yeah, well, then he goes... Then Hanzel with the backhand is 15th of the year, ties it up with the...
Well, I mean, here you got to get the puck out. Earlier you have a chance to get the puck out and you don't, and that screws up the play. The other problem you have is when Hanzel is behind the defenseman, and the defenseman in the situation is Bogosian. Hanzel's standing right behind him. And so we've had Charlie Hattie on the show, and we asked him about fronting the defenseman, right?
Yeah.
Fronting the forward. And he said, I'm more old school. If you're going to front him, you better block it. So he fronts him. Bogosian fronts Hanzel. Doesn't block the shot,
right.
Turns around, doesn't take him on the rebound, and Pavlik is left there, you know, sitting there with no help. And so Hansel puts it in, big body, strong, and he boxed out Bogosian. So Bogosian didn't have a chance, even if he was going to try to get in there, and it's 2-2.
Yeah, I think you got to, I mean, Pavlik, I thought he made, you know.
Oh, he was great tonight. He was great. I mean, how many great saves did he have? You look at the Hansel play, the backhand on the rebound, and, you know, Ekman Larson. And you think to yourself, I mean, those were both plays that you can't blame him much. He had a couple great save on Verbata, the rebound, the shot, and then the rebound.
That was a good one.
He was in overtime on the right in the slot there. I thought, and then the shootout. I thought Pavlik was great tonight. Yeah, actually, it probably should have even been consider for number one star. That's how good he was.
He was a third star, 36 saves, 2 goals, 944 save percentage. But then, you know, the Jets, I thought they had a few chances at the end. Kane with about, you know, 10
great chance
left,
with Kane.
Tipped it
nice
in.
Nice pass by Scheifele on the spinorama there.
But,
I'm surprised Phoenix, I don't think they had called a timeout up to that point. I was surprised that they hadn't called one on that play.
When they had iced a puck with about 20
the Jets had
left.
Used one. I didn't think Phoenix had used one unless I'm mistaken.
It doesn't say here. You know, the funny thing with the Olympics was you look at the box score and timeouts were part of the scoring summary.
Oh, interesting.
I was looking at it at IIHF.
Yeah, but maybe I'm not. But anyway, it was just, I found that odd. But.
Well, overtime.
But if they already called one, then I feel like an idiot.
Yeah, I don't think so. But overtime.
It's a long day.
Jets had. I thought Phoenix really took the play to the Jets.
Yeah, but you know what?
Overtime.
Well, we said with 5 minutes left, Phoenix is going to play for the overtime because they want to get a point on the road, and it's a team they're playing, they're competing against, so they better give up one, not two, and that's exactly what they did. I thought the Jets. One thing, like the Jets get the 2 points. I was surprised a little bit they didn't push harder for the 2 clean points.
Yeah, I see what you mean because they're chasing Phoenix.
Well,
Phoenix
Dallas
got
winning
two games
tonight,
in hand, and Nashville won as well in overtime.
Did Dallas win?
Yes, Dallas won.
So I mean, yeah. You know, you get the 2 points and you stay, but you got to get the clean points because Phoenix is in your way and you got it. So I just thought they didn't push a little. They, obviously, they had that chance at the end, but I thought the last 5 to 10 minutes they could have had a little more emotion there.
And yeah, and that's the thing that's going to be so key going down the stretch here is
clean wins.
Not getting points, but yes, getting the clean wins.
Well, we went over the schedule on Wednesday. Talking about what do you have to go, 6-2-1 kind of thing? They get the win here, but you got to get clean wins.
Right, especially when you're playing teams that you're chasing, like Phoenix. I mean, if you're playing a guy, someone who's not in your conference.
You're up on Phoenix team that has trouble scoring. You got to put it away.
Now let's go to the shootout. Little save. Bodker goes for the Coyotes. Save. Ladd save. Verbata save. And Setoguchi, I was kind of surprised that Wheeler had shot. He's been pretty good, but he sniped one right past
Yeah, I mean, Setoguchi is like the biggest passenger we've called. That's my nickname for him. I mean, it's terrible tonight. Do you notice him once?
Oh. I didn't think that line was that great at all.
That line was not.
Where was Bufflin all
good.
Game?
Shiokin was the best of the bunch. That's not saying much. Because I thought the other two lines had their moments for sure.
Yeah.
More so, I thought the Wheeler line, but Wheeler, Scheifele, Kane.
You're looking at
but
minute.
Even that, I didn't think anybody was that great. So that's why you get the 2 points tonight. It's helpful because they weren't that good. I thought Trouba played a real nice game on the back end. But anyhow, you go to Setoguchi, they must know something, and then he gets that goal, and then you think Pavlik's had a lot of those chances to save the game to get the win, and he's let it in, and it was a nice move by Vermette on that next goal. And then Jokinen comes. I like how Jokinen, on this play, it appeared he actually read the goalie as opposed to head down making his decision beforehand.
Yeah.
And he read the goalie, had the nice shot, and then Ribeiro, beautiful save by Pavs, and you get the 2 points. You want to be better. But again, we've talked about this team before, not getting the 2 points and wanting to be better. So it's always good to have them and still want to get more.
Right. And that's it for the Jets. Their next game, Saturday against Nashville.
Well, there you go.
Won tonight in overtime. So another one of those big games against a team that you're competing with for a playoff spot. So every game here on out is the biggest game of the year. We're going to be hearing
but
that.
But it is. But they all are. Right, what, 21 games left now?
Biggest game of the year. It's a must win.
Well,
something like that. 22. Yeah, I think 21.
Well, we went over the schedule. They better start winning these early ones because that last stretch is tough as hell.
Yep.
2 o'clock on Saturday, so we're on at 8 in the morning.
Great.
Trade deadline preview show. 3 hours of trade deadline preview.
Should be.
I can't wait. I love that
should
show.
Be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Hopefully we get some trades this year. Well, you know what? That's it for the Legal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. Thank you very much for listening. For Richard Pollock and Dave Manouk and Ezra Ginsberg and Drew Mandel, who attended today's game as a fan, Michael Remus, thank you for listening again. A good night and good luck.